Deva Maya Manushanyayo Prata Deva Dharma na Param Chipet Stita Veda Vadana Nuvarta Te Mati
Veda Vadana Nuvarta Te Mati
Svaeva Loke Ramato
Maha Mune Svaeva Loke Ramato Maha Mune
Yathagatir Deva Manushya Yom Pratap
Yathagatir Deva Manushya Yom Pratap
Svaeva Dharma Na Param Shepet Stita
Svaeva Dharma Na Param Shepet Stita
Veda Vadana Anuparta Te Mati Saiva Loke Ramato Mahamune
Yathagati Deva Manushya Yopata
transcendentalists.
Yatha
as gatihi the way. Deva manushyayoho
of the men and the demigods.
Pritak separately. Say in your own. Eva alone. Dharma,
occupational duty.
Na,
not.
Param, another. Kshipet,
should criticize.
Stitaha,
being situated.
Translation: it is better to execute one's own occupational duty than to criticize others' occupational duty. Elevated transcendentalists may sometimes forego the rules and regulations of the Vedas since they do not need to follow them, just as the demigods travel in space, whereas ordinary men travel on the surface of the earth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The behavior of the most elevated transcendentalist and that of the most fallen conditioned soul appears to be the same. The elevated transcendentalist can surpass all the regulations of the Vedas, just as the demigods traveling in space surpass all the jungles and rocks on the surface of the globe, although a common man who has no such ability to travel in space has to face all those impediments. Although the most dear Lord Shiva appears not to observe all the rules and regulations of the Vedas, he is not affected by such disobedience. But a common man who wants to imitate Lord Shiva is mistaken. A common man must observe all the rules and regulations of the Vedas, which a person who is in the transcendental position does not need to observe. Daksha found fault with Lord Shiva for not observing all the strict rules and regulations of the Vedas. But Sati asserted that he had no need to observe such rules. It is said that for one who is powerful like the sun or the fire, there is no consideration of purity or impurity. The sunshine can sterilize an impure place. Whereas if someone else were to pass such a place, he would be affected. One should not try to imitate Lord Shiva, rather one should strictly follow one's prescribed occupational duties. One should never vilify a great personality like Lord Shiva. Na vedavadana nuvartate mati sva eva loke ramato mahamunehe yatagatir deva manusha yo pritak sva eva dharme na param kshipet stitaha. It is better to execute one's own occupational duty than to criticize others' occupational duty. Elevated transcendentalists may sometimes forego the rules and regulations of the Vedas, since they do not need to follow them, just as the demigods travel in space, whereas ordinary men travel on the surface of the earth. Omagyana timarandasya vinanjana salakaya chakshura mihitam dina tasmai shri gurave namaha. Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutare Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Svapadantam. Na Veda Vadana Anuvartate Mati. This phrase Veda Vadan, Veda Vada, Rata, is also used in Bhagavad Gita. In a different way, it indicates anuvartate, the followers of the path of the Vedas. And ordinary people are to follow the path of the Vedas. Well, we'll go down a little bit. There are those that don't follow the Vedas. There are those that are not accepting something that Prabhupada repeated like a refrain, those who do not even accept the four social and spiritual orders. It's okay. The varnashram system that is to be regulated in one's work and to be regulated in one's ashram, social position, by the codes of the Vedas. One who fails to do that according to the Vedic literatures is not even human. Like Prabhupada quotes this, that the varieties of animals that do not follow the codes of the Vedas, so in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, indicating there are people who are, by Vedic calculation, still subhuman, or dvipada pashu, two-legged animals. So So the distinction between human life and animal life is accepting the regulations. So there's those that don't. And then there are those that do. And then there are those that are above the regulations. That's this first statement in the purport. It appears, at least externally, it appears that there are personalities who are very lowly in that they don't follow the regulations of the Vedas, and it looks like they're in the same position as the transcendentalists who don't follow the position of the Vedas. And that was Daksha's mistake. Daksha was considering, he didn't know what a transcendentalist was. In fact, he was a fanatic. He's one of these religious fanatic type personalities. Even with Narada, he didn't understand Narada's position. Such a fanatic that he criticized Narada. Yes? Sixth canto. Because what Narada did was he took the Haryashvas and Savalashvas, the sons of Daksha, beyond the platform of sacrifice of the Vedic system. Because what Daksha had done was he had a large number of sons and he sent them to undergo purification in a particular holy place where it was known that persons would go for purification. So by purification they could then be qualified to have good offspring, good praja. And when they were there at Narayan Saras, this special place where many holy people would go, Narada went and Narada hijacked them. He recruited them for his bhakti program. Once he understood what their qualification was, that they were actually qualified to bypass the regulations of the Vedas and just go straight to the position of pure devotional service. So it happened twice, and when it happened both times, Narada went back and say, "Hey, Daksha, got some good news for you. Your sons just joined my bhakti program." And the second time, first time Daksha said nothing, but he was very angry. The second time he said, just by changing dress, which is true, by putting on saffron dress, does it mean that one can not undergo the means of purification? So that's how he was looking at it. Because he didn't understand the principle of Shuddha Bhakti, he thought, "You have cheated my sons." Because what should have happened is, my son should have gone through this gradual elevation program of becoming married and having children, and in the course of doing so, side by side, the religious duties, following of the so many, "I've offered so many sacrifices," he was bragging, "how many hundreds of this sacrifice, that sacrifice, the other, I'm such a religious person. You don't know who I am, I'm this religious person. And you've cheated my sons. In the dress of a sadhu, I curse you." Because he didn't understand this transcendental position. He saw there's the animal life, the unregulated, and then there's the regulated. And you've taken my sons outside of regulation of the codes of the Vedas. How dare you? And you did it twice. You're not a sadhu. So as Daksha didn't understand, that was Daksha reincarnated, by the way. And the previous situation was Daksha didn't understand Lord Shiva's position. And of course, Lord Shiva's position and Narada's position, while both transcendental, they're behavior is quite different, but not restricted. So the example Prabhupada gives here, people have to walk across the surface of the earth. Demigods, they can fly in space. You can criticize the demigods. Oh, you're not walking. You're flying in space. But they don't have the obligation. They don't have the limitation. And therefore, they don't have the obligation to walk over mountains and through valleys and cross over streams. They can just fly. So a transcendentalist can also not have to follow the regulation. We'll go back. What's the purpose of the regulation? Well, one idea of regulation is restriction. And another idea of regulation is through restriction to expose or awaken higher consciousness and bring one to a purified position. Thus, tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam shudhyat. According to Rishabhdev's teachings, that this human form of life is not for sense gratification. Human form of life is meant to restrict the senses for purification purposes. Tapo divyam putraka, oh my dear sons. This is the human form of life. So that's the Vedic regulation. The restricting of the senses. There's about 6 or 7 examples given right in verses of the Bhagavatam where the codes of the Vedas are compared to a ring that is placed in the nose of a bull. Nice example. Bull is very powerful. Look at those guys. They're really huge animals. Big, powerful guys. And a little ring in their nose and a little kid can control this big, powerful animal just by pulling the ring in the nose to the left or to the right. And because it's so tender, oh, he moves to the left. Oh, he moves to the right. Just by a little tug on the little rope. Varsana Maharaj was explaining that you can give signals when you pull on the left, you say something. Gi, ha, left, right. So you train up the animal after a certain point of time, you don't even need the thing in their nose. You just say gi and ha. And they go left. He said he used to plow the fields by standing outside the field along the fence and tell the animals gi and ha, then turn around, whatever that signal is. And they would plow the field. He'd be chanting his japa. Gi, ha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, as the animal, powerful, so this human form of life is powerful, capable of dominating the powerful bull, capable of dominating the king of the jungle. One time Prabhupada took the devotees to the, or maybe it was the other way around, but the devotees in Bhubaneswar went one time because they were in the process of building that nice temple in Bhubaneswar. So their morning walk was at the Bhubaneswar Zoo. And after they went through the Bhubaneswar Zoo, Prabhupada put his cane down and said, okay, so now what have we learned today? Devotees didn't know how to answer that question. So Prabhupada said, intelligence is stronger than physical strength. Because the king of the jungle, we saw the lion, king of the jungle, there he is in a cage. How did he get in a cage? He's so strong, powerful. He kill elephants. And some human now has him in a cage. So intelligence is more strong than physical strength. And therefore intelligence needs to be properly utilized, because that which is very powerful can be misutilized and make havoc. That is what we've learned today. So, the strong human form of life voluntarily subjects itself to the ring in the nose. The codes of the Vedas are like ring in the nose. Little pull to the left, you go to the left. Little pull to the right, you go to the right. Just by sound vibration. Do this, don't do that, and it's done because of submission to the codes of the Vedas. And submission to the codes of the Vedas may not be explicit, but it's implicit. It implied is submission to the source of the codes of the Vedas. So what's the source of the codes of the Vedas? Narayan. Narayana Parola Veda. He is the source of the Vedas. He is transcendental, and because the Vedas come from him, they act in the transcendental way. Even they're regulating noses, regulating our activities of this world through sound vibration. So the purpose of those Vedas, Yajna Vaivishnu, is to connect with the personality of Godhead. And one who's connected with the personality of Godhead, like Lord Shiva, he doesn't need rings in his nose and ghees and paws and codes of the Vedas. He's already there. So if Lord Shiva does something that's outside the code of the Vedas, it's not our business to criticize Lord Shiva. Oh, why is he wearing snakes around his neck? Oh, why is he smearing ashes on his body? But that's what Daksha was thinking. My son-in-law is this. Blech. Why did my daughter marry him? And so he was offending him. Explicitly. Implicitly by not inviting him to this big function, and explicitly by his words of vilification. So Sati, she knew the difference, although her husband didn't, or excuse me, her father didn't know the difference. He didn't know the difference because he was too attached to the regulations of the Vedas, so much thinking that anyone that doesn't, like Lord Shiva, or apparently also Narada Muni, they're bad and worthy of being vilified. Of course, that in itself, thinking somebody's worthy of being vilified, is the sign of someone who's not very elevated, but proud. That was certainly Daksha's position. Not a transcendentalist and extremely proud. Bad combination. So, Sati is setting the story straight. First, her first point is this one. Sa'eva dharme na param shipet stitaha. One should not criticize. One should not find fault with the execution of the duties of others. Better, do your duty very nicely. But then further she's explaining, so normally this is, at least in Bhagavad Gita, it's better to execute your own occupational duty, even if there's some flaw in it, than to execute the occupational duty of somebody else. That's Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Because your occupational duty is your occupational duty. Someone else's is someone else's. We can give some practical examples. Supposing someone's supposed to dress the deity, and they didn't dress the deity, and they say, Prabhu, what happened? You didn't dress the deity. Oh, I was washing pots. There's a lot of pots to be washed. I washed the pots. It's nice you washed the pots, but you're to dress the deity. That's an easy one. There's some more complex ones. But the principle is, perform your prescribed duty. And don't try to instead, because that was Arjuna's situation. You're a Kshatriya, perform your duty. Even if there is some fault, perform your duty rather than becoming a mendicant. That's not your position. It's not your psychophysical nature. It's not your position to become a mendicant. It's your position to protect. You're saying, if I do this duty, then I'll incur sin. I say, if you don't do your duty, you incur sin. Perform your duty. And the message here is, perform your duty and don't find fault in others for how they're executing their duty. That's a good instruction too. But then, she's giving this understanding of paradharma. Sa svaeva dharme na param. Those that don't understand paradharma, like daksha, don't understand that if someone doesn't perform a particular ritual or detail or procedure, like, you know, the things that in Krishna consciousness, we're not trained to do this procedure and that ritual and this detail. We're trained to worship Radha Nila Madhava and perform kirtan and chant our japa, and those are the things that we're enjoined to do. And if we're not doing some of these other rituals and yajnas and so forth, the path of devotional service is not to be criticized. Why are you not doing those things? The example she gives is, why criticize a demigod for flying in space instead of walking across the rocks and rivers and mountains? You get from point A to point B, that's the point. So that's the ultimate issue in spiritual life, to go to Krishna. So my husband is already there. So why are you criticizing him? Because you're small-minded. So the instruction of Nectar of Devotion is, there are six things that serve to elevate devotional service and six things that are impediments, and shadbhir bhaktir vinashati, they destroy devotional service. And one of those items that destroys devotional service is too much attached to the rules and regulations without understanding the purpose behind them. That's what daksha is doing here. Or on the other side, neglecting those rules and regulations that are coming from the Vedas. And that's what he was criticizing Lord Shiva for doing. Not understanding paradharma. So it's a nice lesson in what is paradharma, what is Vaishnava etiquette, and how to not be like daksha. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Why do you mention that who not criticize? Because they are doing ritual service, you do your own service, you are very thankful, applying to our Krishna consciousness. So within the devotee, let's say that the devotee invites you to his house and he is meeting on his brother. And he also comes to the temple and all that. Then one day I told my mom, want to be careful because you are living on the ground and you are living with them in the temple. So is it a criticism or?
No. Well, it depends. Criticism depends upon your own mentality. But if, you know, Mahajano Yena Katasa Panta, when Prabhupada was invited to someone's house, it was a standard procedure. One of the first questions is, are you vegetarian? And if the answer was, no, I'm not vegetarian, then depending upon the circumstance, it could be, sorry, I have another appointment, or we can come to your home, but we'll take only fruits and milk. That was the standard reply. And if the answer was yes, we're vegetarian, then the next question is, can you prepare food without onions and garlic? And if the answer to that was yes, then the next statement was, very nice, our devotees will come and show you how to make the offering to Krishna. So that's not fault finding. It's just, establishing standards. That's who we are. You have a different standard. This is our standard. You choose this way. We're choosing this way. So if the fault finding is you're a contaminated person, I can't come to your home, then that's not proper. Anything else? Can you turn the volume up a little bit? That's what Narada Muni did, which? Yeah, a few days. That was the curse of Daksha. He thought, how do you call?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, can a similar distinction be applied to between sadhana bhakta and radhatmika?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. Maybe if I start speaking, I'll remember his name. There was a contemporary of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who was on that platform of devotional service, who worshipped deities of Gornatai in spontaneous devotion. And Bhaktisiddhanta told his disciples, don't associate with him, because you won't understand the platform of devotional service that he's on. Not, it's a lower platform, it's a higher platform, and you won't understand it. So this devotee would scold Gornatai, and, with a stick, threaten them. Different things. What was the devotee's name? Radhakrishna? No. Yeah. It was a Babaji. It was a Babaji. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur respected him, but instructed his disciples, he's on a higher platform, and you won't understand it. So either you'll offend him or you'll imitate him, but you won't process it properly, so don't associate with him. Vamsidas Babaji. Vamsidas Babaji. Yes, it does apply to that. Yes.
My question is dealing with giving the higher taste.
Giving the higher taste.
When you're able to get the lower taste.
We have some on the bookshelf over there. God.
or versus self-imposed restrictions. So there's obviously those two distinctions, because giving the higher cases, it's easy to give up the lower cases versus struggling and maybe over-endeavoring to possibly restrict the senses or be in another mode. Your body is actually in the more vigorous situation, more passion, so therefore it's kind of instance, you know, they get to follow
Krishna. Yeah. So now what to do? What's the alternative? Is it Rajneesh philosophy, or is it you know, within our position we properly regulate ourselves? And when we're proper, we say, obviously the answer is the second one. So we're in our position, we're properly regulating ourselves. While in that proper regulation, this wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us nivritti. That is, gradually decreasing one's involvement with matter. Not artificially, but not stagnating either. Consciously, deliberately, cultivating decreased involvement with matter. Yeah, this is nivritti. Okay, that's it. But what does that mean? Just add Krishna. Just add Krishna means one's attraction for matter will decrease. And by just adding Krishna, so let me ask you this. We were speaking last night about honesty. So what I should do is, I don't have to worry about being honest. I just have to worry about adding Krishna. My tendency, because I'm a conditioned soul, my tendency is to lie and cheat and steal. I don't have to worry about that. I just add Krishna and continue lying and cheating and stealing. Hey. Well, okay, but so that's not proper. We recognize that's a disturbance. But I've got my tendency. My tendency is to lie and cheat and steal. Or take another tendency. Pick a tendency. What's your favorite tendency? And while we say just add Krishna, implicit in just add Krishna is this nivritti, because this is the just add Krishna formula book. We add Krishna Katha. When we add Krishna Katha, accompanied, embedded, you know, like a commercial for a palate, like a cleanser or something. There's agents for purifying that tendency. And so we don't just chant Hare Krishna and go do anything. We have our basic restrictions for starters, and we're on the path of the vritti, which says we cultivate, not artificially, but we cultivate decreasing one's involvement in matter. And we may start decreasing our involvement in matter in ways that it's easy. But then come the ones that are not so easy, less easy, difficult, we're attached to. So what do we do about that stuff? We don't, you know, wait for Krishna to get out the sledgehammer and, you know, knock that barnacle off our hearts. We cultivate decreasing involvement in matter. Radha Krishna, you'd like to comment on this? I never heard that one. That's an interesting one. Putting Tulsi leaves in alcohol. Wow. Just add Krishna. Just add a Tulsi. You want to go further with that one? It's a principle of that. The broader question is, how do we develop qualities? Do we just do we just chant and do seva and, you know, whatever, perform the dues, and the qualities will come? Or bad habits, using Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statement, bad habits will just go away? Or do we try to develop an attraction for Krishna, and in the strength of attraction for Krishna, aspire to come before Krishna decorated with nice qualities? And I look at myself, I don't see nice qualities, and therefore I want to decorate myself with nice qualities, but I can't decorate myself with nice qualities because Krishna has the supply. So I have to ask Krishna to help me. And I try to please Krishna by manifesting those nice qualities, and then Krishna manifests the nice qualities or helps me overcome a bad habit. In Tattva Viveka of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's one verse in which he describes overcoming bad habits. It's a very interesting purport. He wrote the sloka, the tattva, and then explained it. And it's something, it's the essence is nivritti. So this is it's a theological question. Not exactly philosophical. What's our theology? And do we not strive for good qualities and just Krishna bhakti? Or on the strength of Krishna bhakti, do we strive for good qualities? And the answer is we strive for good qualities. We're dependent upon Krishna. We're dependent upon the strength of our devotion for Krishna. But we strive for good qualities, which means also overcoming faults or overcoming our involvement in matter. Yes, Krishna Kripa. I thought so.
Story after story of persons who miscalculated the choices, and Krishna or one of his representatives helped him understand what was the proper way of confession.
Yeah.
And we have problems. We make bad choices, but that's really about the problem. We consider what we're doing, but we unfortunately get our choices against the personal desire and desire. If our desire and choice is going to be a tiny curve of going to the contradiction. Both paths work.
So there's another subtle point that we're hearing. I've heard it elsewhere. Is do we just rely on the fact that Krishna is all pure and purification will come just by, you know, the core activities of bhakti? Or, in conjunction with the core activities of bhakti, do we strive to overcome bad habits and develop good qualities? Krishna Kripa. Well, Krishna Kripa. He's just on a roll here.
Well, if that's the case, then if you just want to add Krishna and sit still and just add Krishna, don't move. Don't do anything. Just add Krishna. Otherwise, you're moving.
No, but just add Krishna means you've got your life and you add Krishna and stir. Like add the Tulsi Leaf and stir.
You come to the point where you're only adding Krishna. And then what other activities are there?
That's not what he's meaning. He wants to.
I think what I'm just describing, from where I'm situated, the thing which I am able to have encouraging me to continue moving on is just adding Krishna more and more in my life. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's an and, not an or. So both are good. Like if you look at even delineation of both the letters and try and keep it, you start at the top note. But that's your goal, and that's how you do your process. It's going to get to the same thing.
just
realm of eternity.
Yeah, he's not a fanatic. Come on, he's just, you know. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.